Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
And a good afternoon to you and happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to What You Need to Know. I'm DeMarco Moore.
And I'm Rhiannon Alley. Dr. Jen, of course, with us here. And it is the first Friday in February, so we're all wearing red to help highlight the American Heart Association's focus on women's heart health. We have a great show today. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But I'm excited. I'm a big Yellowstone fan. I love the Dutton family. Have you watched it?
Not yet. I'm finishing up Fauda, which is another series. But I want to get into
what are you watching these days?
I gotta check it out.
I know, it's so good. Yeah. So 1923 is a prequel. So I'm excited to hear from this actress. I want to hear about Cowboy Camp and what all goes into it.
We can start watching it, DeMarco. Catch up.
We'll do it together.
Yeah. And take a look at this big number. More than 20 million Americans age 20 and older have coronary artery disease, the most common form of heart disease.
Dr. Jen, there's this misconception that it affects men more than women. I was growing up and I was always taught that it was the number one killer for, you know, women, heart disease.
That is true. But here's the thing, you guys. No one thinks it will happen to them. So even if they are aware that it is the number one killer of men and women, people think, well, not me, but actually we need to all realize that this is potentially life-threatening for all of us. Take a look at the stats for women, particularly in heart disease. Over 44% of women starting at age 20 years of age and up have some form of heart disease, whether it's coronary artery disease, congenital heart disease, valvular heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer of new moms in this country. So when we talk about the maternal mortality epidemic, heart disease tops that list. Women are 6% less likely to receive bystander CPR in an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. So again, in terms of interventions, life-saving treatments, they're not doing as well. They're 23% less likely to survive if they suffer an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. And in terms of research in science, they are still underrepresented in clinical research when it comes to heart disease. Now, you guys, for the last several years, there's been a big push, a big effort for OBGYNs as the primary care physicians of women to really talk to the cardiologists, talk to their patients about prevention, which is so important because 80% of heart disease is preventable.
So could it be diet, exercise?
It's genetics, it's lifestyle factors, it's pregnancy-related complications, gynecologic issues like polycystic ovarian syndrome. So again, it's really about one hand talking to the other in medicine, but for all of us, we have to know what the statistics are and we have to know how important prevention is.
Getting checked. Yep. Thank you, Dr. Jen.
You bet.
Let's turn now to ABC's Elizabeth Schulze in Washington with the latest headlines. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Hey, good afternoon, Rhiannon. We're going to begin with that massive spy balloon spotted in the skies high over Montana. A surveillance device the size of three buses tracked by U.S. officials who are monitoring its path closely. It's believed to be from China. Officials indicating President Joe Biden has decided for now against shooting it down because of the risk to American civilians. The Pentagon saying it poses no physical threat to residents, commercial aviation, or U.S. military assets. The issue may affect U.S. meetings with Beijing to begin next week. The Chinese Foreign Ministry posting online now that the airship is Chinese, but is civilian in nature and was blown off course, saying it regrets that it strayed. Be sure to bundle up today as that bitter polar plunge sinks down on much of the country, with parts of New England possibly hitting new wind chill lows. Frostbite can set in just minutes in this kind of cold. That potentially life-threatening Arctic blast is expected to ease somewhat after tomorrow. Police in Los Angeles are saying they discovered a potential sniper's nest in the heart of Hollywood, arresting suspect and Army vet Braxton Johnson. Police say high-powered rifles and body armor were found by a window in his 18th floor apartment after residents complained about threats. They say that he was making. Johnson has pleaded not guilty. And the new jobs numbers just in. The U.S. Department of Labor reporting the nation's employers added a surprisingly strong 517,000 jobs in January. The unemployment rate dropping to 3.4%. That's despite aggressive efforts by the Fed to hike interest rates to cool inflation. And somebody has been practicing. You got to check this out. The skills on this seventh grader in North Dakota. JJ Franks making the layup, the free throw. Okay, you can see him there, the three-pointer. And then the crowd's getting excited here. He's going in all the way to the half court for a quick succession. And you can just tell the excitement in the court. There it is. You got it. He makes it. The crowd goes wild. Everybody on their feet, guys. Jubilation ensues. I mean, pretty amazing. He definitely had to be practicing, making that look way too easy to the rest of us.
I mean, we're excited in the studio as well. It's just a round of applause. JJ is the man.
And Elizabeth,
half court?
$10,000 he won, too?
$10,000, wow. And I'm amazed that someone is even able to get that on their camera because you saw how excited the crowd was when they were cheering.
Hey, we're pulling for JJ. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you.
You too.
And there is so much more ahead right here on GMA3 on this Friday. His collapse in the professional football field captured the attention of the nation. Now, Damar Hamlin issues a special invitation to all of us to learn life-saving CPR.
And the difficulties of finding quality daycare for the nation's children in many places around the country. We'll take a look at the challenges that many parents are facing. Stay with us.
What's up, everybody? It's D-Ham. Once again, I want to thank everybody for the love and support over these past few weeks. As you know, CPR saved my life earlier this year on the field, and CPR could easily save your life or someone you love. That's why I'm proud to announce that I'm partnering with the American Heart Association and kicking off Damar Hamlin's 3 for Heart CPR Challenge.
Oh, that's a beautiful video there. Just seeing him be able to talk as a blessing there. That's again Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin just 1 month after his dramatic collapse mid-game on the football field announcing a new challenge to help save lives. We all remember when the nation watched the 24-year-old laying lifeless on the field as medical teams performed CPR.
And doctors say that immediate response that we saw most certainly saved his life. And now Hamlin, as you heard, is partnering with the American Heart Association to help all of us learn this life-saving technique. Yes. So joining us here is the CEO of the American Heart Association, Nancy Brown.
Nancy,
thank you for being here.
And happy National Wear Red Day.
Yes.
Thank you for rocking your red.
So let's talk about Damar, because you actually traveled to Buffalo. You got to meet with him. How did that meeting go? What did you guys talk about? How's he doing?
You know, Damar is so committed to focus on his challenge so that every person can learn high-quality CPR and be equipped to save a life. That is his purpose and his focus.
So how does the challenge work? I know you guys are partnering with Damar.
We sure are. So Damar has issued a social media challenge for people to do 3 things. First is go to heart.org/3 to learn hands-only CPR via a very quick 3-minute video. Second is to donate to the American Heart Association CPR work. And third is to tag 3 other friends to continue the challenge.
And keep
it going. Dr. Jen, let's bring you in because we're talking hands-only CPR. Yeah. And I know we discussed this a while back, but let's talk about the differences between hands-only and traditional. Is one more effective?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been working with Nancy and the American Heart Association for over a decade now. As Nancy knows, I come from a family of cardiologists, so my dad is a cardiologist. This is so important personally to me, and we've seen it at how important it can be on a national front. What the American Heart Association realized with their clinical data, which they constantly are evaluating and assessing, is that the concept of having to do mouth-to-mouth was actually acting as a deterrent for bystanders to initiate CPR and therefore save a life. And we know that if CPR isn't initiated, 90% of people who suffer an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest will not survive. So with the data, they said, you know what, let's look at whether not doing mouth-to-mouth out of hospital can have the same survival benefits, and they found that it could, because it's really important to start circulating that blood flow as quickly as possible, more important than doing mouth to mouth. So the steps, very, very important. Immediately initiate 911. Tell someone, call 911, you in the red shirt, call 911 if you're alone. Put your cell phone on speakerphone and activate the EMS system. And then you want to go right in between the nipples in the center of the chest, hands only, about 100 to 120 beats per minute. You've heard Staying Alive, Crazy in Love. You can sing those songs to yourself. And do not stop until help arrives. If there is a defibrillator there, use the defibrillator. We've shown people how to talk, how the defibrillators talk people through that. And Damar was defibrillated on the field, we learned. But they acted within seconds, and that is why, DeMarco, when you said it's incredible that he's speaking, you are 100% correct, because we have a saying in cardiology, time equals brain and heart function. So every second, every minute that goes by without oxygenation, without defibrillation, without CPR affects your brain. And you heard DeMar is, I mean, it is truly miraculous.
And you know, DeMar wants everyone to have the same chance at life that he had. Mm-hmm. You know, 350,000 people a year suffer an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. And as Jen said, fewer than 10% of those people survive. These are our family members. It's in our homes, in our schools, in our communities, in our workplaces. So everyone deserves an equal opportunity to high-quality CPR. And that's why we at the American Heart Association and DeMar have teamed up to make sure everyone has access to knowing how to do high-quality CPR.
Dr. Ding, you talked about it. How important is it for people to actually know how to do CPR? Because DeMar had a team, you know, had a team of doctors.
Well, what I love about this initiative is, Nancy said, in 3 minutes you can watch a video that could give you the skills to save someone's life. And as a doctor, as someone who's done out-of-hospital CPR as well as CPR in a hospital, everyone is afraid to jump in there. It's a mm-hmm. scary situation. What I tell people is you can only help that person. Right. That person is already technically dead, so you don't have to be afraid of making the situation right. worse. Jump in, help, take this course, learn it, and you see what you can do.
And even if you don't take the course, press hard and fast in the center of the chest, saying staying alive, and don't stop until help arrives.
Wow. All right. Thank you, guys. And Nancy, good to see you as well.
Thank you. Good to see you both.
All right. Again, Nancy Brown, CEO of the American Heart Association. Thanks a lot.
Such important information. Don't go anywhere right here on GMA3. Father Ed has been hard at work for 50 years.
Five decades. We're going to take you to an anniversary celebration in New Jersey for the longtime educator at the helm. GMA3 when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are now back with the historic moment in Newark, New Jersey. Father Ed Leahy has been leading St. Benedict's Prep as headmaster for 50 years, impacting not only students' lives, but the entire community.
Our mistakes frequently impact somebody else. So realizing that is why it's important to ask for forgiveness.
Here at St. Benedict's, in the middle of downtown Newark, what we do is try to provide voice for kids to create opportunities to deal with their heart. Outside of that, I try to stay out of their way because the school's run by the students.
There's no other place, at least that I know of, where the senior group leader or the student leader of the school has a direct line to the headmaster.
Puts kids in real leadership positions. They make decisions for running the school day by day. I grew up in a parish. We lived about two blocks from the church. There were always priests in our house. And I used to say, well, Jane, maybe I can do that, you know? I really never remember seriously wanting to be anything else. Eventually studied, got my master's degree in divinity, and was ordained priest in 1972, but I already had this job as being the head of the school when there were no students. The school closed in 1972 because of America's original sin, racism. Knew nothing about education in terms of formal training, but I just knew I was angry about the way it closed. My main intention was to prove that you could build bridges between ethnic groups. Our students now come from absolutely everywhere in the world. The majority of us are Christians. There are Hindus, Sikhs, Jews. There's a significant Muslim population.
I will rejoice and be glad.
Most of what we see as academic underperformance has nothing to do with your intellect, has to do with your heart. A lot of guys walk around in this country angry as heck. If you don't address that anger, then you got no shot at trying to be able to do the academics. It gets in the way.
Giving us a voice and giving us a platform and actually excel in the real world, can't thank him enough.
Ladies.
Without him allowing the girls to be here, I would be a totally different person. I wouldn't be able to have future aspirations like I do.
It was all initiated by 17 and 18 year old young women who had a vision and wanted it and would not take no for an answer. In terms of different perspectives and stuff, it's the greatest.
One of our mottos, whatever hurts my brother hurts me. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the benefit of others.
Taught me how to love differently, how to accept people differently, how to listen. Nobody has it better than me. Nobody. Somebody may tie me, but nobody's got it better than me.
Oh my, we both heard had a wow moment when we read, you know, whatever hurts my brother hurts me.
Amazing.
So powerful. And his legacy.
Just touching so many students' lives. Bravo. Mm-hmm. What a hero. Up next, when we come right back, eating healthy in a hurry, Dr. Jen is going to show us how we can actually do that.
And it's so hard for many working parents to find quality, affordable child care. We're taking a closer look at that here today when GMA3 continues.
Welcome back to GMA3, everyone. Dr. Jen joining us now to talk about an important topic. We're talking about air pollution and how exposure to that can lead to depression, anxiety.
And so, big picture, we have to connect the dots between things that happen in our environment. We talked about climate change and our health. And this study just out in JAMA Psychiatry is a perfect example. Looked at almost 400,000 people, followed them for about 10 years in China, and then studied air quality and their risks of certain psychological conditions, anxiety, depression being most notable, and found when they measured air quality, those who had the highest exposure to pollution where they lived also had the highest rates of depression and anxiety. Why theories? Because again, this was based on observation and association, not cause and effect, but there are some theories that pollution, as we inhale it into our body, it can lead to inflammation, it can affect oxidative processes that are not good for our brain. And again, everyone is exposed potentially to some degree of pollution if you live in a city, right? But how much and what the consequences are, were enlightened by this study.
It was also noted that the association between air pollution and anxiety tended to be higher in men than women.
Right, and so much interesting there, DeMarco. First of all, it is so important that we separate out medical and scientific and public health research, men versus women, different racial and ethnic groups. Primarily, the participants in the study were white. We need to study it in people of different races and ethnicities as well, but you also need to look at the differences between men and women. And this study did see a difference. Unclear why, but this is just more area that we need to follow.
Wow. More info needed.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jen, thanks. We'll be right back.
How hard is it to parent behind bars?
It takes intention and effort, but it would be harder not to.
Happy birthday, dear Nikki, Mommy.
I wish that you could come back home.
That's what I wish too.
But I talk to them every day, and I know who they sit next to in class. I try to stay involved to their day-to-day. Those are the little moments that I miss most.
All right, welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. That's just part of Juju Chang's gripping conversation with Nikki Adamando, a television first with a convicted mom of two, in her own words on the killing of her gymnastics coach partner and life inside prison walls. Be sure to catch it tonight on 2020 Tonight, Self-Defense of Murder, airs at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on ABC and the next day on Hulu.
Dr. Jen Ashton back with us now to talk about a topic that a lot of you are asking us about, juice cleanses. It's been a while since I've done one, but a lot of people want to know, are
did
they...
Did you like it?
I did like it, actually.
And are you due for another one? She said it's been a while since I've done one.
Listen, I actually enjoyed it. They're hard to do, but I actually felt better after. But...
Okay, so I love this question. It lets me put on my nutritionist hat. Listen, the bottom line is, are they healthy? It depends, right? How long you do it, what the condition of the person who's doing them is, what type of juice cleanse. Anything can be healthy if done in moderation and in the right setting, right? Why people do juice cleanses, I think, is more interesting. And a lot of times it's to get kind of a psychological jump start on something. And that is really powerful. So short term, maybe, what do I mean by short term? 2 days, 3 days, fine. Remember, most juice cleanses do not have any protein or a lot of protein in them. And most are very high in sugar and calories. So you have to just know that going in with your eyes open and be realistic into what you're expecting. Right? If you're expecting to take off 10 pounds and keep it off, I can tell you that's not going to happen. But if you want this psychological motivation to start kind of a new wellness ritual, go for it.
Go with plan B.
Yeah.
All right, what's your prescription for wellness?
Also in the field of nutrition, but how we eat, ways to kind of hack your better meal prep, you know, be a little bit more nutritious with how we eat and how we organize our eating habits. So these are my three tips for you. Number one, yes, prep your meals. Do it on a Sunday. It'll save you time. It'll make it easier every time you open that refrigerator. Stuff's already there. Cook in batches and then reheat, reuse. Everyone loves that anyway, so you don't have to just get one meal from a setting. And then mason jar meals and sheet pan suppers are really, really popular now. There are tons of recipes out on social media that you can follow, even if you're a bad cook like I am. And they can be nutritious as well.
Wait, so is DeMarco the best cook of the three of us?
He might be.
I think I am. You know, I mean, I gotta be good at something. You know, I'm not a doctor or model
idea. All right, so you have to cook for us then.
I got you. And folks, don't forget to submit your questions to us here at ABC GMA3. Coming up when we come back, daycare deserts, the problem facing so many working parents and what some are now doing about it.
Plus, the best friends teaming up on prayer and inspiration and focusing on the sunshine mind. They're here with the good news on this Faith Friday. Don't go anywhere. GMA3 will be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to GMA3. As millions of working Americans with young children return to the office, the supply of affordable, quality childcare just hasn't kept up with demand. In fact, that gap has now reached crisis level.
We were just talking about this the other day. Labor Department data released this January shows the cost of childcare has risen in nearly every single state. ABC's Morgan Norwood on how daycare providers and parents are coping with this so-called childcare desert.
You've heard the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, in America, that village is shrinking. The Center for American Progress, which collected census data from public and private child care providers across the country, found more than half of Americans live in what's referred to as a child care desert, defined as areas where more than 50 children under the age of 5 have few or no child care options, where there ends up being more than 3 times as many children than licensed child care slots. We see it in both large and small states, rural and urban areas. States like California, Nevada, and Utah, West Virginia, Alabama, and New York have childcare desert rates of at least 60%. And while suburbs of Michigan may have adequate daycare access, it's a very different story for Detroit, a low-income city with a high poverty rate.
A lot of the facilities have closed because of the pandemic, and it has caused such a distress on us. So the demand is strong, but the supply is weak.
Betty Henderson runs one of the few 24-hour daycare facilities in a metro state made up of blue-collar, second, third shift, and factory workers. Angels of Essence is a lifeline for parents.
I have have never, in the 22 years I've been in business, had a waiting list. And just today, 7 phone calls where I had to refer them out to other facilities because I have no room. It's stressful telling a parent no when a parent has to tell their employer they don't have childcare.
This has led to desperation among parents, regardless of their economic status. Betty feels that same desperation with grueling hours and escalating operating costs, all of this as government subsidies are set to expire.
We're getting financial assistance that was considered COVID relief funds. Those rates are going to be gone September of 2023. So we don't know what we're going to do. Sometimes I feel like it's just better to shut the doors, consider a 9-to-5, but then there's so many parents that I feel like I'll be letting down.
And when it comes to infant care, the cost can be 61% higher than for preschoolers.
The waiting lists are insane, and they're just also really expensive.
Sophia Tavatan's 8-month-old daughter, Luna, has been on wait lists since Sophia was 5 months pregnant.
She's currently on waiting lists for when she turns 18 months, which is next year. So if I had decided to put her in a daycare, that was probably $2,000.
Per month, and on a teacher salary in Los Angeles.
I would have been working to pay for everything, and then I would have been left with hardly anything.
Sophia took a leave of absence from her job to take care of her daughter, moving back home with her dad.
You know, I'm lucky enough to have been able to survive these last months.
Oregon's community action agency, Neighbor Impact, believes supporting new and existing providers is key to solving the daycare disparity.
Well, in Oregon, we are a childcare desert everywhere in this state with infants and toddlers, with preschoolers. We provide wraparound services for pretty much anything a provider would need. We have people come in, they want to open a program, and there are so many barriers, they don't know what to do. There's just so little supply.
Childcare providers we spoke with say they wish lawmakers would pay closer attention to their needs.
We feel like we're the most undervalued people in the world, and we just need someone to hear us.
Let me see your lips say, oh.
You think about how expensive it is, you know, for one child, let alone 3 kids, and you said single parents.
Yes, exactly. I hope more lawmakers are listening. Our thanks to Morgan Norwood for that amazing report.
All right, so to come, it is Faith Friday here on GMA3, and we're going to meet the besties joining forces on a new book of devotionals.
And we're going to take you inside 1923, the Yellowstone prequel with series star Julia Schlepfer. Joining us right here in studio. More GMA3 is coming back in just a moment. Welcome back. It is our favorite time of the week, Faith Friday. Our next guests are best friends turned co-authors who have teamed up on a new devotional book. It is called The Sunshine Mind, 100 Days to Finding the Hope and Joy You Want.
And we're so excited about it. They are joining us now to share some tips on how to use faith to live more optimistically. Please welcome Tanya Rad and Raquel Stevens. Good to see you both, and congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much. We're really happy to be here and grateful that our book is out.
Yeah, happy to have you here, too. Raquel, we'll start with you. So you talk about your many, you know, experiences that you were able to use it as looking through, you know, life at a positive lens. How did faith play a role in getting you to where you are now?
Faith has really been my anchor. And I think that, you know, when we look at our world today, it can be really difficult, you know, and especially for us living and working in LA and in the entertainment industry, it's really important to have faith as your anchor, because really then you can handle anything that comes your way, good things, bad things, and everything in between. So it's played a huge role, and I couldn't have done anything that I am doing today without my faith.
Wow, that's beautiful. And Tanya, I love your guys' story. You guys met 10 years ago at Bible study.
Yeah.
And you just clicked. So how did the whole process come? When did you decide to do a book together? Tell us about that.
So we met at this Bible study. We really just instantly clicked. And when you're new in LA, it's really hard to like find your crew. And I knew she was going to be in my life forever. And we'd been probably for like 7 years steady, like really good friends. And when I decided I wanted to do a devotional, I was like, Raquel's the perfect person to partner with, because this book is a true depiction of our friendship. Whenever I was going through stuff with my career or in my dating life, I would turn to her and she would send me a scripture that would just always make me feel at peace. She would pray for me, and this is exactly what the devotional is. Like, we want that
our devotional to be that for everybody.
So, but you're like, you're everyone's best friend.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what we wanted. That's what we wanted to accomplish, and I think we did it perfectly. Yeah.
Well, it is Faith Friday, and on Faith Fridays, we love to get wisdom so we can all walk away with something as well as our viewers. We'll start with you. Just words of encouragement.
Yeah, my biggest word of encouragement, and I guess life wisdom, would be to prioritize your inner life, because I've found when you prioritize your inner life and you strengthen that, when good things happen, it fills you with gratitude and humbles you, as opposed to becoming ego and arrogance. When bad things happen, the spirit sustains you, and even in the mundane, it fills you with awe and inspiration to keep on going. So prioritize the inner life, and then no matter what is happening externally, you will always be okay.
Wow. Received. Yeah. Your turn.
I would say rejection is God's redirection. I think my life has been such a testimony of that, because I've been pushed out of relationships and career situations that were really hard at the time. And you know, it's like that storm, and you're obviously, you have moments where you're sad, but it was always God pushing me out of that situation to bring me to an even bigger, better one. And so I think really holding on to that hope through the weekend, if you're dating or if something's not working for you in your career, just know that God has a bigger purpose and a bigger plan.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Rejection is
that.
God's redirection.
Yeah.
I've also
to
heard,
that.
You know, rejection is also God's way of being, protecting you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Cool.
Okay. We got the book.
Yay.
100 Days to Finding the Hope and Joy You Want. It is available everywhere books are sold. The Sunshine Mind.
This was good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well,
this is awesome.
Right.
Thank you.
And just ahead here on GMA3, we're going to meet 1923 star Julia Schlepfer.
She's going to take us behind the scenes of the Yellowstone prequel. Don't go anywhere. Woo! We'll be right back. She's here.
Where does the next adventure take you?
East. Where does it take you?
I'm afraid all my adventures are over.
That's a shame.
I agree. Perhaps you'd whisk me away on yours.
You wouldn't like mine.
Welcome back. That was the scene from the hit Western drama series 1923. This is the second prequel to Kevin Costner's Yellowstone, which I love.
Yeah, you're addicted to it. And it is action-packed with a healthy dose of romance tossed into the mix. And our next guest is here to tell us all about it. Please help us welcome to the GMA3 studio, Julia Schlepfer. So good to see you and good to have you here.
Great to see you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, a big congratulations to you. 1923 is a part of the Yellowstone franchise. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it is. So there's Yellowstone, and then that's present day of the Dutton family and their ranch. And then there's 1883, which was the origin story of the family. And now we're on 1923, following the family through the years. It's really great. It's fun.
Cool.
And
yeah.
You have some relatively unknown actors, you know, Harrison Ford, Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah, I don't know.
Up and comers. No, obviously huge stars. Mm-hmm. What was it like sharing the screen with them? Did you get to know them as you were filming?
Yeah, they're so incredible. Our storylines haven't overlapped at this point, but they were the coolest people alive. We went to cowboy camp to learn how to become proper cowboys, and they were there, and they hung out with us all the time, and they were just like so welcoming and really made us feel like we were meant to be there with them, which is so crazy because it's hard to believe. And they're really, really sweet.
So
yeah.
This show, we know the show has been on hiatus, but you've started to film again, and we have episodes kind of coming in our direction. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us, if anything, about what viewers can expect? Speak in code.
Yeah.
You know, lock and
have to.
Secretive. And what's it been like for you to just come back from being on hiatus?
Yeah, well, so what people can expect is just a whole lot more adventure. If you think that everything has happened to these two characters, it hasn't. A lot more danger ahead. They're going to be put through a lot of tests. And they're going to see if their love can make it. And it's been, the hiatus has been kind of bizarre because we're like, we're so excited to watch it come out, and there's so many storylines, and my friends are in these other incredible storylines as well, and so to watch them, because you kind of forget what they've done, it's really exciting. I can't wait to see them on Sunday.
I gotta be glued to the television set like you, you know?
I know, okay, I have to go back to cowboy camp, mm-hmm. though, because I'm a huge Yellowstone fan, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. and being a cowboy is a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy, mm-hmm. and they actually put you through a camp to learn how to do it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, oh, we were put through the ringer. they beat us up out there on that ranch, but it was so much fun. I mean, we all showed up, and it's great because none of us properly knew how to ride, and so, you know, there's no ego. We all looked like idiots. You know, we were all trying not to fall off the whole time, and so we really, the cast really bonded, but we learned how to properly trot and lope and lasso, and we did some barrel racing drills once we got good. And
so would you consider yourself now a very competent equestrian?
Oh gosh, I would like to. I think the wranglers that taught us how to ride would be like, you got some work to do. But
and how long were you there?
We were at cowboy camp. Originally it was just 2 weeks, and then Brandon, my co-star, and I, before we went to Africa, we had about a month. So we just rode every day, and they let us come to the ranch and continue to ride, and it was really special.
I want to check the show out now.
What
is it about the show that you think resonates with the viewers? It's filled, of course, with drama, love, action, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so exciting, and there's so many storylines, and you get a little bit of everything with each storyline. You got, you know, your cowboys in Montana, and there's this beautiful storyline with Tiona, who's one of the indigenous actors, is Amina Nieves, is incredible, and you watch the real history go down there, and then, you know, our storyline, there's so much love and romance, and it's so beautiful, and I think it's kind of this love story that everybody wishes that they had, and it's really exciting.
The Dutton family is never boring.
Yeah, no, they got a lot going on. They can't stay out of trouble.
All right, thank you so much. It is a pleasure having you
thank
here, and just
you.
The best of luck to you. One more time, everybody, for Julia Shepherd. And a reminder, all new episodes of 1923 will resume this Sunday on Paramount Plus ahead of the season finale on February 26th. Again, the best of luck. That is what you need to know for this week. Thanks for joining us. I'm DeMarco Morgan.
And I'm Rhiannon Alley. A reminder for all of you right here on ABC News Tuesday night, we will have full coverage of President Biden's State of the Union address. Have a great weekend, everyone, for all of us here at ABC News, including Dr. Jen. Make it a good one.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.